Praise the Lord for the testimony. Look around the auditorium this morning and see tear-filled eyes. Some sadness in those eyes, but I know that the testimony of those, based on even their presence here this morning, is that God's been good. And it's easy to say, God is good all the time God is good. That's much harder to live that truth oftentimes. And so we praise the Lord for your testimony this morning. John chapter 10, if you would please. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. We'll have a guest preacher tonight. Appreciate Brother Holmes. He's here for a few days, been here for a few days. Get ready to go back to the great state. And I know all of our church members at Open Door Baptist Church know what that is. I said he's going back to the great state. All right? Territory of Oklahoma, right? Brother Holmes will be going back to Texas. And he's been here about 10 days. But Brother Holmes pastored for some years, actually more than one church. And the Lord used him. And so I asked him to bring us a message tonight. Looking forward to that. Had enjoyed a time of fellowship with him yesterday, going out into the community and witnessing. And so you come back tonight and be ready for what the Lord would have through Brother Neil Holmes.
John chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read a couple of different verses in this text passage. For sake of time, we'll skip over some verses, but then we'll intend to come back to some of these as well as we preach the message this morning. John chapter 10, verse
number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Drop down to verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Finally, drop down to verse number 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I want to bring a message this morning that we've entitled, Make It, Take It. Make It, Take It. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless us now from your word. Again, I pray, please speak to our hearts. Help the truths that we intend to preach this morning to be relevant to the hearts of every single one that is here today. And Lord, I pray that you might help us to go the only way into the sheepfold that you've made for us to enter, through the door and through the shepherd. And so help us with these things this morning. If there's one here who does not have that eternal life that you've promised that we can have, I pray that they'll be in possession of it before they leave this place today. Help us, Lord, as believers to be people of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. There seems to be in many people a special and strange antipathy for a thief. You've heard it like I have, and maybe you've expressed it. I hate a thief. I would imagine that most thieves carry disdain for other thieves. It's almost as if there is something innate that tends to produce such emotion in this regard. Could it be that mankind has a built-in mechanism that causes recoil towards stealing? Potentially, we would even say that it's a subconscious thing. But from where does this subconsciousness proceed? Could it be related to something known as the conscience? 1 John chapter number 3 speaks about this conscience that the Lord has put within mankind. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." I'm thankful this morning I can say I believe with all my heart that I have eternal life, but that is not simply based on a heart belief as much as it's based on the belief in which the heart has put its faith and trust. The truth of God, the Word of God. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." And there is something within man, lost and saved, this matter of the conscience. It becomes more keen. I believe we see this in the book of Hebrews, this matter of the conscience. It becomes more keen and more tender when we receive the Lord as our Savior. But mark it down this morning, even the lost have a conscience, something within them, an inner voice speaking out about the truth that exists. We read about it not only in the book of 1 John, but we read about it also in the book of Romans chapter 1. We go back to this passage over and over again because it seems to be so very relevant to the day and way age in which we find ourselves living. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," notice this, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The word "hold" there means to suppress or to hold down. And it means that something that is coming up, but I'm forcefully pushing it down. Verse number 19, "because that which may be known of God," notice that, "that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Notice, when they knew God, they know of God. They know that there is a God. Something down deep inside tells them that that is a fact, that that is truth, but they push it down. They suppress it down. And I wonder if this is not where this innate sense comes from that all of us tend to say, I hate a thief. Jesus highlights several characters in this parable. The thief, the shepherd, the porter, the doorkeeper, if you will, the stranger, the door, and the hireling. And then, of course, there are sheep and wolves. Remember last week we mentioned that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Today we want to emphasize the nature of the thief so as to help more definitely define the distinction between him and the shepherd who truly is the star of the story. The shepherd makes it all go. And if the shepherd is removed, chaos will ensue amongst the sheep. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 4, verse number 31, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he actually mentions this. He bears out this truth, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered in verse number 31. And he hearkens back to Zechariah chapter number 13. And God there in the book of Zechariah actually prophesies of several things about the shepherd of the sheep. But one of the things that he mentions is that the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will be scattered. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. But it's important that we be reminded this morning that when chaos ensues, God's plan is still on course. Maybe you've got some chaos, maybe even limited in some way going on. Even in your own personal life this morning, it looks like things are mixed up and what's forward is backward and backward forward and so on and so forth. May I remind you, may I encourage you, child of God, that even when chaos ensues, God's plan, God's course still remains. Well, why the title, Make It, Take It, this morning, Pastor Taylor? Have you ever played Make It, Take It? I was trying to look for a way to work this illustration in, and it seemed like this is just a natural place to work it in. We actually played a game last Sunday night after church. Last Sunday morning after church, we had some church members standing around fellowshipping, and we do that kind of routinely around our church, and some of the younger ones were talking with some of the older ones, and somehow we got on the subject of basketball. One young man challenged another older man and said, oh, I can beat you, no problem at all. And they sort of talked back and forth for a little while, challenging one another. And then finally there was a little friendly wager made on that game. And so that played out after church on Sunday night. And then there was another man, he's a little older, but he's still a younger man, and he thought he wanted to get in on this challenge that was going on. So he decided to challenge an older man as well, challenge him to a basketball game. So we played together, these two groups, the young man against the older man, and the older, younger man against the older man, and would you know that both of the young men lost? The second older man, there was also a friendly wager made. And the friendly wager was whoever lost had to have their hair all cut off, buzzed off. So if you look around the room this morning, you might notice an older, younger man. He's got very, very short hair. And last Sunday morning when you saw him, even Sunday evening, he had a little bit longer hair. But he was a good sport, and right after the game, he got that haircut that he was boasting about. I said all that to say this. We didn't play Make It, Take It. And so it was a very fair way that we went about it. And you say, Pastor Taylor, you didn't have to work in that story. I know, but I wanted to tell you about it this morning, all right? But make it, take it is a very simple concept. And what it basically says is whoever scores initially, then they get the ball again and they get another opportunity to be able to score. That's the way make it, take it works in whatever game it is that you might be playing. The Lord Jesus Christ has the ultimate advantage in that he is the maker or the former of all things. In other words, he has ultimately scored first. He's got the ultimate advantage. This positional advantage places him, you need to hear this morning, in power as the owner of all things. Now, I make this sort of a statement or bring about this message quite often. I believe philosophically it is very, very important. Really, probably in time, you know, all of human time, but really especially today. Just because of this fallen society and really how covetous this society is and so on, I believe it's so important to understand that Christ is the owner of all things. He's got a positional advantage in that way. As the owner, he establishes what he gives and what he takes because he made it all. Again, as the owner, he establishes what he gives and what he takes because he made it all. Make it, take it. With this in mind, consider that even with the grand Ten Commandments, the basis transgression for each of the commandments is theft. You ever thought about that before? Each of those Ten Commandments, the basis transgression underlying those commandments is theft. You see, it's theft to have other gods before me because God owns that position. It's theft to make any graven image or likeness and bow down or serve them. Why? Because God owns that material and has established its purposes. It's theft to take the name of the Lord in vain. By the way, did you notice how God said it? Don't take my name in vain. Because God owns his name, by the way, there is this matter of identity theft. God came up with that before man ever did. It's theft to forget the Sabbath day because God owns time itself. And so above and before we steal from others, we always steal from God first. You understand that? Before mankind ever steals from another man, we always steal from God first. Psalm 51:4, David said, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this iniquity." We know that David had sinned against his fellow man, but David understood the first person and the primary person that I've sinned against is God himself. Genesis 39:9. You remember the man Joseph, a virtuous man, told Potiphar's wife as she attempted to commit adultery with Joseph. He said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Oh yes, it would have been sinning against Potiphar. Oh yes, it would have been maybe sinning against those that were in the land or maybe in the household. But Joseph understood, if I participate in this, I'll be sinning first against God. And if a man is bold enough to steal from God, hear this morning. If a man is bold enough to steal from God, what is it to steal from another man? So we see these other commandments. To dishonor father and mother is to steal the honor that does not belong to the child. To kill to take a life when that life does not belong to one. To commit adultery, to steal another's wife or another's husband. Oh, it's theft. God lays it out very quickly, very clearly. Thou shalt not steal. Well, we know that's theft. What about bearing false witness? Stealing the testimony of somebody else by telling a falsehood or a lie. What about coveting? It has within it the heart, somebody wanting to take that which they have not earned, that which is not theirs. All these things are really just thefts. Oh yes, thefts against man. But who is man ultimately representing? God, after his likeness and image. So we ought to take only what God desires and what God deems to give. Anything else is theft. It's theft. Do you remember, by the way, in the very first circumstances of time, Adam and Eve and even Cain? God said, don't you partake of that tree. And they did. What did they do there? They committed theft. What happened with Cain and Abel when Cain became so jealously enraged that he took the life of his brother? He committed theft. So make it, take it. I want to say three things about this thief this morning that we're talking about. And then I want to bring about a truth concerning make it, take it. Number one, I want to talk about the access of the thief. Look there in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, the access of the thief. John chapter 10, verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. This thief here, distinctly different from the shepherd, he does not have valid access to the sheepfold. He's got very limited access. And it's only what the shepherd would allow. And the shepherd would allow a certain kind of access, but it's only through the door and through the porter of the door. Otherwise, his access is completely limited. And Jesus says, if anyone tries to enter some other way into the sheepfold, he is a thief and a robber. To the sheepfold, what is this all about? Well, this is where the sheep find safety and security. This is the place where the sheep go and they can know that they're kept safe from all the maladies and all the troubles and all the things that would destroy in the world. A sheep can go into the sheepfold and find safety. Well, there is no safety apart from God. God says there are horses and there are chariots, but safety is of the Lord. And this thief does not have proper access to be able to enter into this sheepfold. The Bible says he's got to climb up some other way. Romans chapter 5 talks about this limited access that this thief would have. Romans 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again in the scriptures we find, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. My friend, hear me this morning. If you're going to be justified, if you're going to be stamped as righteous before a holy and a just God, you must be justified the only way that God would allow access, by faith or by grace through faith. Otherwise, you have limited access, and if you try to climb up some other way, think about that. This thief cannot simply walk through the doorway. He's got to climb. He's got to work. He's got to produce some of his own effort to be able to break in. Think about your own house. You have access to it. You simply walk up to the door, put the key in the door, a lock there, unlock it, and walk right in. You have access. But the thief's got to come up with some way to be able to break in. Could I say this morning? If you're trusting in your good works or your righteousness or your church membership or your baptism, water baptism, to give you access into the sheepfold, into that safety and security, God says this morning, you're not only a thief, you are a robber. Theft by force. Ultimately, that's what they did when they took Jesus and hung him on an old rugged cross. They were attempting to steal his glory by force. Jesus said, you're a thief and a robber. Not only is there access to the sheepfold, but there's also access to the sheep. Jesus talks about it over and over again. He talks about the goats and the sheep and the tares and the wheat and so on and so forth. And true access into the family of God. It's one reason that I think we ought to be very, very careful about who we call brother or sister. Because ultimately, the only brother or sister that we'll have is either in a human respect, the human family there, my brother, my sister, based on the fact that our parents are the same, or we are made brothers and sisters by the one that says you can be and you ought to be born again. So I think we ought to be careful about that. And we don't just allow anybody, for instance, to become a member of Open Door Baptist Church. Why? If you're not a part of the sheep, you've not been granted access. So you've got to give a profession of faith that you personally have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, trying to enter in and get in amongst the sheep, you're really committing theft. Not only to the sheepfold, not only to the sheep, access to the sheep, but access to the shepherd as well. The shepherd and his sheep are in the sheepfold together, safe and secure. The song says, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. May I say this morning, if you're here and you're trusting in anything but the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, for your gift of eternal life, you are committing or attempting to commit the act of theft, and you have no access to the shepherd this morning. You cannot claim his promises. People love to quote Psalm number 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. May I say to you this morning, he's not your shepherd unless you've entered in the way that he's prescribed that you enter in. You cannot claim those promises because of that limited access. There is an impassable divide, a great gulf fixed. You say, what makes God so strong that he would make these limitations? He's made it. He's allowed to take it. He makes the rules. So there's access, number one, this limited access of the thief. I must hurry. Number two, the limited ability of the thief. Notice this limited ability, chapter number 10 of John, verse number 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. Who's the them? You can go up into John chapter number 9, and you can see that he's speaking to a religious crowd. But again, religion is not what gets you eternal life. It is a relationship with the Lord. And these Pharisees were trying their best to be religious, and they were doing a good job of it. But Jesus was giving them this parable and trying to indicate to them, you're a part of this thief crowd that I'm telling you about. The Bible says, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus to them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There is a limited ability of this thief as well. He's limited in his ability of influence. For him to be able to influence the sheep. Oh, this is the blessing, by the way, of being born again and having the Spirit of God within and having the Word of God and having a church, a local assembly to be able to fellowship with. There's a massive amount of protection with these things. And what I mean by that is this, when a false prophet comes along and makes all sort of statements that are untrue, saying that he is the Messiah or denying the deity of Christ or saying that there is no heaven, no hell, saying you can't trust this Bible, it was simply written by man. When these things are spoken, there's a great amount of protection and security there. And the sheep hear the Lord's voice. Hear the shepherd's voice, but the thief, he's got a limited ability to influence the sheep. So it doesn't matter to me how slick or how eloquent or whatever it may be that somebody may be. They come your way. I've had them come my way. You've probably had them come your way. And they attempt to try to speak some religious speak. And they might even bring the Bible. But they're trying to twist the scriptures and these sorts of things. What a blessing it is. The Spirit of God and the Word of God and that edification that we've had starts to rise up in our hearts and says, you don't need to follow him. You don't need to follow her. And the thief has limited ability to influence. The thief also has limited ability to find pasture. I love the way Jesus says, he shall be saved, verse number 9, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is eating. That's where the sheep go to eat. To get their sustenance. And you know, people may seem to be doing really good in this life, both physically and spiritually, but there is no fulfillment and there is no peace within a heart like that which God brings. He fills the longing and the empty soul and our ability to find pasture and to be full of the things that are necessary and good are unlimited in the Lord. But the thief, he's got a limited ability. That's why people try so hard to find that which would fulfill their lives. They're trying to go about it and take it. And yet God says, no, there's this limited ability that you have. You can only be so fulfilled in this life. But if you come through the door and to the shepherd, you'll have the ability that only God can give. The ability to give and take. The ability to have and to hold. We see power mentioned all throughout the scriptures. And book of Exodus chapter 15, Moses sings about God's power. The book of Numbers, the book of Chronicles, all throughout the scriptures. A book of Psalms, chapter number 37, for instance. I wish I had time to read all of these for you, but I want to read this one. Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 35. Beautiful passage of scripture. He says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet, he passed away, And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Why is that? The wicked is limited in his ability. Why? He is simply a thief. So there's this limited access. There's a limited ability. Finally, there's a limited affection. I want to point this out to you, and then we'll be done. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 10 this morning. A limited affection. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Notice how the thief is focused on himself while the shepherd is focused on others. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, notice this, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. This hireling is not really concerned about the sheep. He's concerned about his own welfare. And so his affection is limited. Have you ever wondered about lost people that do some heinous things, just a mass heinous acts, and you wonder, how in the world could they do that? Weren't they thinking about others? And the answer is no, they're limited in their affection. They're focused primarily on themselves. We live in a day of very limited affection, don't we? Day of limited affection. Romans chapter 1 speaks about this limited affection. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Notice this one, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which are, that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Peter mentions this same thing again when he says, without natural affection. 2 Timothy 3 mentions this very thing. In the last days, there will be a limited amount of natural affection, unloving. Matthew 24, 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You ever wonder why it's such a cold and a heartless day? The majority of people are trying to barge their way in, climb their way in, steal their way in to the safety and the security that only God can bring. This theft that we're talking about this morning. This is the me first and the me too generation. Now, this me too thing came about many years ago, and I think probably in some ways the motivation was proper. We wanted people to know that there were victims and that they could feel like they could courageously and boldly come out. But do you notice how quickly now people have taken hold of that Me Too movement? We just saw a court case here not too long ago. I didn't watch very much of it. But a court case that really showed this, that people will take advantage of these types of things. Why? It's all about them. And the Me First generation has just partaken of this so-called Me Too generation. I want to get what's coming to me as well. Limited access. Limited ability, limited affection. Go with me, if you will, now to Isaiah chapter 42, and we'll be done this morning. Isaiah chapter number 42. You might be sitting here today, and you might say, Pastor Taylor, I am not a thief. As a matter of fact, I hate thieves. Could I ask you this question? Are you attempting to gain eternal life another way than by Jesus Christ and His shed blood, His atonement? If you are, God says you surely are a thief. And if we are living in our sin and we've not received Jesus' atonement and sacrifice for our sin, guess what? As we live in that sin, we're nothing but thieves. But I'm so thankful this morning there is one that is a shepherd. And he's not a thief. He's made it so he can take it. He can take those to heaven to be with him that he has made, and he can also allow those that he has made to choose to be against him and to go their own way as well. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Jesus came meek and lowly. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth, this gentle shepherd. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now notice, thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Notice now, he made it. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, you better hear this, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Jesus says, I'll give my glory to my servant that I uphold, but I will not give it to another. He made it so he can decide who he gives it to. And he's given it in a special way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Jesus came to set the captive free. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Drop down to verse number 17, Isaiah 42. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? Blind as the Lord's servant, that blind justice we know about. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. What is God talking about here? He says, my servant on the one hand
came to set the captive free. My servant is one that wants to see people live in liberty. My servant is the one that has that blind justice and simply wants to see truth go forward. But there are some on the other side, and they're thieves. And they want to spoil the people. They want to rob from the people. They want to take from the people what is not theirs. God is standing there all along saying, make it pay. Hey, if you made it, if you made the world and all that is therein, then you go ahead and give and take as you want. But I'm the one that has created it. So therefore, I'm the one that has denoted and has set aside who will be the shepherd and who will be the door. That's Jesus Christ. So if we're attempting to get in the safety and security, salvation that God offers any other way, the Bible says we're simply thieves. A thief has limited access. A thief has limited ability. A thief has limited affection. But if you will come to Jesus the way that He's provided through the door, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man come in, he'll come in and go out and find pasture. I want to give you life. If you're willing to come through the door, God will give you unlimited access and unlimited ability, which He has, and unlimited affection, the right kind. Choose to go our own way. God says, you're a thief. You'll have to pay for your crime. I wonder this morning too, Christian, are we living like thieves? Is it all about us? Are we living in such a way because we don't partake of God's ability? We don't partake of that access to gather with the Lord and to gather with His people? We're really living like thieves. You understand, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not on the outside of the sheepfold this morning. You're on the inside. We ought to live like it today. Make it, take it. Let's not be thieves. Let's come to the Lord the proper way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sometimes it's hard for us to be able to focus on our own transgression. We're good at pointing out the transgression of others. God says very clearly, if you attempt to go any other way than through the shepherd and the door, you're a thief. A lot of religious people that God will pronounce their crime of theft in the day of judgment because they thought that they could earn their righteousness rather than receiving it the way that God has prescribed by grace, the free gift, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning in our midst who would say, Pastor Taylor, I am not sure that I have been born again into the family of God. I'm not sure that I have utilized the proper access into the sheepfold this morning. And I'm concerned about it. I don't want to be a thief before God. I don't want God to pronounce judgment on me. If that's you this morning, if that's your concern, it's ours as well. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'll just slip your hand right up, put it right back down, we'll pray for you about that this morning. Is there one? I don't know that I've been born again. I don't know that I've entered the proper way into the sheepfold. Pray for me. Is there one like that? Let me ask this question. Christian, are you living like a thief? Are you living as if it's all about you and it's your life and not giving into that access with the shepherd, with the sheep? How's your affection this morning? Maybe you hear you're a believer, you'd say, God has spoken to my heart. I don't want to live like that. I want to live like a thief. Pray for me. Pray for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See those hands. Let's bow our heads together. Pray. We'll have a time of invitation. If you need to come during the invitation, we would invite you to do that. Maybe just to pray and talk to your Father, your Lord. Maybe you need to come this morning concerning a decision. Maybe you're not sure about salvation. If that's you, we'd like to take a Bible, show you how you can know for sure that you can be born again. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism or church membership. You need to get in with that access that God is providing you. We would invite you to come this morning as well if that's your need. Let's pray together. Father, bless this invitation time. Help us, Lord, to see things from your perspective. You own it all.
And you're so gracious to give to us. But we ought to take what you're giving and not take what simply we want and the way we want. Help us to live accordingly. Bless this invitation time. Continue to speak to the hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you?